What if we did a silent episode?
What if our feet touched?
Well.
A silent episode while holding toes.
I'd personally hate that, but that's just me.
We're the pride of South Australia, and we're known as the Adelaide Crows. Why did they change it from Mighty Adelaide Crows to "We're known as the Adelaide Crows"?
I didn't even know that they changed that. I thought it was "We are the Mighty Adelaide Crows."
It was, but now, yeah, it's different.
And Mandela effect.
That's the opposite of a power move. Wow.
In good news,
yeah,
I have finally committed.
Look at the scarf, everybody.
Getting a crow scarf,
a proper scarf for the proper badges.
And I've got the right team badges on here.
Facts.
And I'm not wearing it, but my Collingwood scarf
has Collingwood players.
Now has Collingwood players on it. Oh, Coco said, "Fuck the Crows." I managed to go to this sporting store that someone recommended on our TikTok in the city yesterday, and I got Josh Dacos, Nick Dacos, Darcy Moore, and then I got...
You got me a fog.
I got your fog.
Which, like, blah, 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 completes my holy trinity of Ben Keys, Brody Smith, and then
Darcy Facts. Fog. And also got
Father,
you...
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
A Charlie Kerno.
Yep, hell yeah.
And speaking of Fogarty, Fogarty is a hot topic in our household this week.
When I tell you, I internally screamed and almost cried in my meeting on Thursday. So, oh my days.
If you follow us on social media, you would have seen this week that the most random thing occurred where the Adelaide Crows followed us on TikTok, saw
our showdown stuff from last week.
Yeah, and saw how we were saying that we tried to get a fog badge but weren't able to. And then they've sent us not just a fog badge, a signed fog badge. And we know it's signed because there's a video on their TikTok of it. There's like 35 pillows under me of it. It hasn't come yet, but holy shit. Like, what do you mean?
I can't believe that potentially... Fog knows you exist, and he knows you exist by wearing a Collingwood sweater.
I can't get comfortable.
Well, you figure it out. But yeah. I think what we really need to do is we need to una reverso on Fog, and I think we need to send him a badge of us. I think merch idea, right?
I'm listening.
Okay, so... I have a merch idea, but this one's just for Fog. So we get badges made of us.
Yeah.
We sign them.
Mm-hmm.
Send it to him.
Yeah.
Like for like, right?
And he gets a restraining order.
And he wears it with pride. As number one girly pop. Anyway, another idea though is we get like fantasy league badges made.
Okay.
Now, I don't know the copyright infringements on that.
Depends what you want on it.
Well, like for the players that are on Fantasy League, or we get one for the Girly Pops and it's like, ask me about my boyfriend Fantasy League. I feel like that's a fun time.
Yeah, you could do the latter of those two ideas.
No, I want the faces though.
Well, you definitely would want to engage a lawyer.
You reckon?
Yeah.
You can't just put someone's face on a badge.
No.
Really?
I would dare say the Adelaide Crows or like the respective clubs own the rights to their images.
Do they?
Yeah. It would be the same as like...
Okay, what if we went to the games, took photos of the players at 12 megapixel zoom, put them on badges?
Then it's fine.
There you go. Work around.
Because in a court of law, we I'd took like the photos. To see your evidence to try and confirm who that player is in this photo. Go on.
It was this blurry square.
Try me. I think reasonable doubt will find that no one knows who the fuck is on this badge.
It could be anyone. Yeah. So
what a wild week.
How crazy. The Crows are a fan of us.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So Fog, expect a badge, my dude.
So once it comes, we're going to frame it and it's going to sit right somewhere here. On this.
I'll figure out. A little contraption, a little shelf.
You have been watching Lego Master, so you could Lego build something.
I'm going to Lego build a shelf, a fog shelf.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, that was nuts.
The Crows team are doing like meet and greets. Like, I think it's in like clusters of players across different Hungry Jack locations in SA.
Okay, interesting.
We're waiting for the Fog one if it hasn't happened yet.
How do we know who's going to be? Do they announce?
They post it on their stories, yeah.
Yeah, well, we need to keep an eye on that because I'll be free.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out.
We'll be free for that.
There's nothing weird about a 30-year-old woman going to meet 21-year-old players.
we were gonna go meet Isaac.
Was Rankin. Isaac?
Yeah. Last Monday because they were at like Fulham Gardens or something. But it was on the Monday night, and Monday night we have Pilates, and Caitlin's like, oh, but like, do we just tap out and just go see them? And I'm like, Caitlin, I am not seeing these men in my Pilates workout gear without going to a class. That's crazy behavior.
Yeah, I forgot that you wouldn't, like, you'd either have work gear or your Pilates gear.
Neither of which are appropriate.
It didn't fucking clock.
So yeah, no, it'll happen. It'll happen.
Yeah, so a crazy week of sport, but we're slowly building up our badges.
Yeah.
Watched a bit of the Bulldogs game last night.
Yeah.
Now we did miss Libba. Libba has been in our
Everyone
thoughts.
Is saying that because this is like his second time this season on concussion protocol that he's gonna retire. I hope the fuck not.
As someone who's only been watching football for maybe 5 weeks now, I feel like that's you would get more concussions before you retire. I'm not, like, supporting concussions. Like, I feel bad for the guy. Yeah. But, like, surely it takes more than two.
Yeah, just put a helmet on.
Yeah, I'm an advocate for a helmet.
We'll
sponsor the helmet.
Yeah.
For $10.
Yeah, I'll make stickers for it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they absolutely obliterated the Tigers last night.
We love to see it.
Whoop, whoop. And hoping the Crows do the same with the Lions.
Yeah, Collingwood obliterated West Coast Eagles today.
Yeah.
That's week,
my first, no, second correct tip of the week.
Yeah, no, my week's, and I don't know, fair. In your footy tipping, do you have joker rounds?
No, I don't think so. What is a joker round?
So we have it with our work one. So we get two every season. And if you use a joker, you get double points for every tip you get right.
Okay, so you use it on like a round where you don't do too good.
No, you would use it. You want to
use it on a when week you do good.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Right. But obviously you don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I almost used one this week because I've been doing pretty well in my tips and I was like, I'll do it.
You obviously put a joker around before tipping starts, right?
No.
Like you put your tips in, but like you can't at the end of that week.
No.
Be like,
You've got to submit it at the start of the week.
Yeah.
So I almost used one. I'm glad I didn't. Because I was like to myself, no, I'll save it for later in the season because my theory is that the later we get into the season, the more predictable it should get. Yeah. So I'm going to hold off. I'm going to wait.
Yeah.
And then, my tips have been shite this week, absolute shite. Mm. But Collingwood – and, like, it's just crazy to me that a lot of the games this week, it's been, like, 120 points to 30 points.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
How can you guys be in the same league but be worlds apart in terms of abilities?
Yeah.
And that's on that. I hope the Crows win now that – look, I've got the whole kit now.
We're like half an hour away from the game starting, so.
Yeah. Last night, I thought I was going to have no voice today.
Yeah, you pulled up fine.
I thought after 3 hours of just solid karaoke, I was going to be wrecked. I had the worst sleep.
Did you? I had the best. I was out cold.
Yeah, I got home.
I was out cold in the car. Apologies.
Facts. No, it was fine. I got home, put Benji to bed, like tucked him in, whatever. And he was being really well behaved about it. Went to bed out cold.
Mm-hmm.
I was tossing and turning all night. It was like I couldn't turn my brain off.
What? Baby girl, what is there to think about?
But it was like, it wasn't like I wasn't controlling my thoughts.
What were we thinking about? What were we thinking about?
Badges. Like, I wish I was kidding. My brain was
okay,
like.
Okay, so what were we? Yeah, go on.
I can't remember now. But it was like, I just remember constantly waking up to my brain thinking about badges. But
I need this badge.
But like. Badges like categorizing them.
like on one scarf?
No, it was just like, imagine they're all in a line and my brain was like, okay, well, these ones need to go here and these ones need to go. It was like actually cooked. So I didn't get a good night's sleep, but because I was so fucking tired and disorientated, Benji managed to sneak into the bed and I didn't realize
weasel.
Until like 6 a.m. when I'm like, why is there something smelly and warm in my bed?
Okay.
So, yeah, and I thought I was going to have no voice.
But so he stayed in bed then?
Yeah, look, I was so tired. Yeah. I was so tired. I was like, whatever. Yeah,
fair enough.
I thought I was going to have no voice, but I was fine. And here we are. And that's that.
That is that. I am being so fucking for real. I need to stay at home.
Yeah.
I can't be going out anymore.
Yeah. Well.
Like, I can't. I've seen enough. I don't need to experience anything else at this point.
I hate to break it to you, but we're going away next weekend.
I know. I'm done. I'm so done.
Yeah.
I need to be saving fucking money. Like, we're going on a holiday in 2 months.
I keep forgetting.
Do you think I have money saved up for that?
No.
Diddly squat.
Do you think I do? No.
Diddly squat.
Facts.
Like, oh my God. And just, oh, no, no. You know what? No. Someone's like, hey, do you want to? I'm going to stop you right there. No, no, I don't. I don't want to do nothing.
Yeah. Oh. I'm just not in the mood.
No, I'm over it. Like, I just want to, I think it's because I've had something on every night this week. And so I'm at my wit's end.
You're okay, you're twitching.
I'm going to snap.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. It's Captain Cooked is what it is.
Facts. Yeah, I just want to, I just like my space.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, there's selected few where I'm like, look, okay, if this is my issue, the people that are in my life, I love spending time with them, but then like they're all like, oh, do you want to catch up now, and I'm like, yeah, and then it all lands within the 1 week, and that's when I'm like, oh no,
yeah,
oh no, I need to space it out a bit.
You just have to be ruthless and say, no, I will not be seeing you.
Oh, everyone, we joined a social netball team.
Oh my God. And that fucking starts not this week, but next week.
Yeah.
What if I said,
what shoes are you going to wear?
My Ugg boots at this point, because I can't afford to buy netball shoes. I'm just going to wear my running shoes, which are terrible for running.
Watch, my shoes have absolutely no grip on that court.
I'm not going to back out because I know, like, once we're there, it'll be fine and I'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I'm not backing out. I swear on my life, I'm not backing out.
I won't let you.
This is one of those things where I'm just in a rut. I'm in a rut and I'm like laying in bed and I'm like, why the fuck have I signed up for social netball? I don't even know the rules of netball.
We don't know the rules of netball, but that's not important. What's important is the fact that we've wanted to join a team sport for the longest time.
I know. Now it's here and I'm like, well, I'll be.
Do
jiggered.
I really want?
Is this really for me? Am I really a team player?
No.
I'm going to let everyone down.
No, we both will. It's fine.
Like, I don't know what to expect.
It'll be fine. I feel like people take social sport real fucking seriously.
Don't tell me that.
Not people on our team. I mean, some of them might, but like other people.
I have a fun story for
you.
Yeah,
let's go.
Okay, a couple of years ago now. Because every time it gets to this time of year, I'm like, I wish I was a netball girly.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I don't know. I have some fantasy about being a sport person. Yeah. And I was like, I want to play netball.
Is this the story about how you tried out?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, because I remember this and I remember being like, you try out first, you tell me how it is, and if you go good, then I'll try out.
Now, I clearly didn't do enough research. Let's just put it down to that, okay?
Who did you try out for? Was it Hallett Cove?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was like, what I wanted was probably like a social netball level. Right. But what I did want was I wanted to join a club, but like I wanted it to be like real casual shit league. So when I was in school, I played netball for like 2 seasons.
Yeah.
But I played for the school league. And so it wasn't that good. There was school league and then club league. Yeah. And school league, like, it was. So I thought, like, I could find that in a club, right? I was like, Alec Cove can't be that serious.
No, it is. That's crazy because, like, I just cannot imagine you, like, trying out for one, a sport you've never played for, like, the hot minute.
Yeah.
And two, trying out knowing no one.
Okay. Now, this is it's so stupid. So I go, right? I don't know anyone there.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, surely it's not that serious and, like, these people aren't that good.
Clicky and, yeah.
Right? No. I turns out I'd shown up to a fucking Thunderbirds trial. Did I know the rules? No.
Mm.
Did I? Was I?
What did they have you doing?
Test, like, mini matches.
Mini.
So you were constantly, like, playing these games.
No.
And they had people on the sidelines, like, scouting you effectively.
No.
I couldn't keep up with people physically because I, not physically, like, way less physically fit than I am now. Could not keep up. These people played for years, right? Yeah. These people take it so seriously. It's such a serious league. Didn't know the rules. Right. So I got fouled for something and I remembered, I remembered in school, like sometimes you'd have to stand next to the player if you got fouled.
Yeah.
So I did that. And then this girl was like, what are you doing? You don't. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll just off my, like, would I can't believe I did that. Like, I actually cannot believe I was so mortified. I'm pretty sure I cried on the way home. Yeah,
I would have cried.
Because I was like, this is the most humiliating thing that I have ever done. And it's all self-inflicted. Like, in what world did I think that I could join a club netball team?
I don't know why, but, like, in my mind, as someone who has never played a team sport in their entire life, I just feel like I'd be naturally gifted at it.
Well, that's what I fucking thought, didn't I?
And, like, I know I'm not going to be. But in the back of my mind, there's a little voice that's like, nah, but you're going to slay this.
You'll be better than I am.
No.
Absolutely.
I have no hand-eye coordination.
No, but you have. I have
no spatial awareness. I'll just keep running.
I'll be
bouncing the ball. You can't bounce the ball.
You have more like, you don't give up easily, whereas I do. We'll be 3 seconds into quarter one and I'll be crying on the sidelines begging to be taken off.
Oh, that's why we have subs, though.
I fucking hope we've got enough for subs. Because otherwise someone's going to be playing two positions.
What position do you play?
Well, in primary school. I'm talking year 6 and 7. Yeah. I was playing, like, wing defense.
Yeah.
Or, like, wing attack.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder where I'm going to be put.
I feel like you're going to be either of those or goal attack, goal defense.
Goal attack?
That's just my thoughts.
Please.
Surely someone.
I can't shoot. Don't make me shoot.
Surely someone who has a history of playing netball like Beck is going to be center.
Yeah, you reckon?
Surely.
Well, yeah, you got to know the rules, hey.
And also, like, you need to be quite fit. There's a lot of running.
Yeah, that ain't me.
If your goal attack, though, like, yeah, technically you should shoot, but you really would just have to support Brooke.
Oh, there's two goal attacks.
Well, because you've got goal attack and goal shooter, right?
Oh, okay.
So you could be strategic. Okay, so I just
get the ball to Brooke.
Yeah, you just support her. If you do end up being goal attack.
I could do goal attack then, as long as I'm not shooting.
No, Brooke would be really good at shooting because she's so tall.
Yeah.
And that's what she used to play.
Yeah.
So if you just be goal attack, you just have to support her.
Yeah.
And, like, bark at the other players. Yeah, that's my defense. She gets
the ball.
That's going to be my defense.
Oh, dear. So, yeah, stay tuned for that, guys.
I'm excited. Like, I know once we're actually there, I'll be like, oh, my God, I love this because I love a little community club feel.
I can't wait to get a little team pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
But the thought of actually leaving my house right now.
Yeah, not it.
I actually think this could be the year that I shave my head.
If you do it, then I do it because I've been wanting to do that for ages. But
I'd look so ugly. Kids would cry.
I already look ugly.
No.
I'm already halfway there with this hair. With this. I need to wash my hair. It smells like bonfire.
Oh, I washed mine and all my clothes this morning.
I have so much laundry to do.
You can't shave your head because you spent all that money on the hair thing.
What? The shark. Oh, yeah. Thing. I can't. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I was going to say something.
That would be really good.
Wouldn't it? No, it's gone. Oh, well.
We're going to spend the whole episode sitting here waiting for it to come back.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure it was on the netball thing, but oh, well.
All right, let's progress.
Yep.
So let's start with Fiona Harvey's interview with Piers Morgan.
Yes. So
this week, what was it, Friday?
Yep.
Piers Uncensored, I think it's called, or Piers Morgan Uncensored. It's like a news program, but it's longer form interviews rather than like hard-hitting news. Published Piers's interview with Fiona Harvey, who is the woman that Martha from Baby Reindeer is based on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no one from the show, like Richard Gadd or Netflix, has confirmed that it's Martha. But fans of the show have put two and two together and believe that she is who
she says she is. Yeah.
Yeah, who this is based off of. And so she's been, Fiona Harvey, off the back of that, has been pretty vocal, being like, I'm going to sue Netflix and Richard Gadd and all of this. And so I think because she's been so vocal, that's why they've got her on. Anyway, so we both watched the interview. Went for about an hour. It's on YouTube if anyone wants to watch it. This, I don't know what I was expecting, because the character that is based off of her is just, respectfully, a wacko.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like, clearly mental health stuff, right?
Yeah.
But just, it's, I don't even know how to describe it, like, respectfully. It's just, she's obviously the stalker in the story and just believes all her own lies. Like, it's just living in this fantasy land.
Yeah.
Like, in the show, she is like, claims that she's a lawyer.
Like, how she is in the show is exactly how she presents herself in real life. You know what I mean? Like, it's just,
it's crazy.
You watch the show and you're like, there is no way that someone like that is like in real life going about their day, interacting with other people the way that they are. She is.
And you'd think that they would have dramatized her, because like the actress would never have met her or come across her in real life. So you think, oh, it's obviously dramatized for TV. No, it honestly just felt like she was herself.
Yeah.
So the interview, she starts off by saying that she's chosen to go on his program because she feels like he's going to give her like a fair platform to say her story.
Yeah.
And he's asking her general questions like, have you ever met Richard Gadd? And she's very calculated in what she says. But throughout the interview, her answers become a little bit more and more cooked. So she claims that the allegation that she sent 41,000 emails and rang him all these times, left all these voicemails, is just not true. She's like, that's not even possible for anyone to do.
Yeah.
And she's like, I only contacted him. First of, like, in her Facebook post, I think it is, she's claiming that she's never met him.
Yeah. Right?
Then in this, claims that she'd met him at the pub or whatever that he worked at and sent him a handful of emails, and then claims that she then, when Piers called her out on tweeting him, she's like, well, I only sent a few because I was being supportive of his. This is the other thing. So this show, this thing started out as a play that was at Edinburgh Fringe or whatever, and she's saying that's when she first heard about it and, you know, was really weird about it then. And then, like, down later on in the interview, she's like, yeah, I was just trying to support his show, so I was like, I sent him a letter, because then he was claiming about all the alleged letters that she'd sent him, and like, it just doesn't add up. But there's been some moments from it that were so funny, and people have clipped it, and they've become like voice trends on TikTok that are everywhere. Like the one where she's like, I'm not into little boys who don't have a job. And then this one where she's going on about how he was like obsessed with her, like saying that he had this like little green thing on his face or whatever.
He had a green dot in his face and he asked me to sleep with him or something.
It was a wild interview. A few people that follow us also watched the interview, and everyone's basically said the same thing about how it's definitely her. It's 100% her.
Yeah.
But also people, I think a lot of people feel bad for her as well because she genuinely believes what she's saying. And yeah. She genuinely believes that she's the victim.
Yeah.
This hasn't happened, yeah. All this sort of stuff. But a lot of people, and I see this as well, Piers and his team did to some extent take advantage of her.
Mm.
They took advantage of someone who clearly is not mentally well,
yeah.
Who clearly is a bit left of field purely for ratings. And I get it. I get the value of that interview to the program and the network because of the views that they would get from it. And all these moments from it have gone viral. But I do feel a little bit bad for her because it's like the public are taking the piss out of her and she doesn't realize.
Yeah. Yeah. But, like, again, she wanted to do the interview.
Yeah.
Because she wanted her part told.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like ignorance is bliss, isn't it? Like, she... yeah. It's a tough one. It's such a tough... Like, it... Yeah.
She... What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So she's still adamant that she's going to sue them. And then Piers tried to pick that apart a little bit. And then she ended up being like, oh, I've been busy and I haven't had a chance. And all. I don't think she's actually going to sue him.
I don't think she has a leg to stand on if she even tries.
No. So, yeah, I don't think – because then Piers was really trying to push to her. Like, if this goes – if this actually becomes a legal case, in discovery, they're going to be able to demonstrate –
yeah.
That you sent 41,000 emails and all this kind of stuff. So I think that's going to be the hurdle that she comes into. So, yeah, I don't expect or anticipate that we're ever going to see that she's actually sued them. Yeah, I think she's going to keep – I think she enjoys the attention. And I think that's partly part of being a stalker is you enjoy the attention and being, you know, in the spotlight. And so I think she's going to keep trying to pop up and milk it, like whether it's even just on her own social media channel. Like, she's not going to let this die. She is going to flog this.
Yeah.
It's
just sad for everyone involved because, like, it was just clearly so traumatic for Richard Gadd. But then, like, Fiona can't even see that side of it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't – yeah, like, my mind can't wrap my head around it.
Yeah, being – that delusional,
yeah,
in a sense.
Yeah. Not even cute delusional, like proper delusional.
Mm-hmm. She was saying that she's like got a boyfriend of like 5 years and stuff. I'd love to see.
Come forward, sir. Is the boyfriend in the room with us?
And then she was saying like just such random things like how her mum isn't, because Piers was like, oh, you know, do you still have parents around? We were just asking about her background. And she was like, yeah, my mum is still around. And he was like, does she know what's going on? She's like, no, I haven't told her. And Piers is like, she hasn't like seen what's.
Yeah.
And Fiona's like, no, she's not internet savvy.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But it's just uncanny how it's the way that she speaks is exactly the same as the character in the show.
Yeah.
I think that Jessica lady that played her in the show deserves all the Emmys and Oscars.
Yeah, she did an unreal job. Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, it's a very, sadly, it is a very entertaining interview. But I think, I don't know, I haven't seen people, because she claims that people have been leaving her death threats, and I'm sure that they, I'm not saying that they haven't, but I just can't, like, why would you send her death threats?
Yeah.
I find that weird.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay, she is doing fucking weird shit.
Mm.
But what are people going to get out of sending her death threats? Like, just let her be.
Yeah.
Leave her alone. So, yeah, that was that. Now, there's been this crazy thing on TikTok. I feel like it's really flooded my For You page in the last 24 hours, and I actually can't get it off my For You page. Now it's starting to piss me off. But so... the Met Gala was this week, just gone. And there's this influencer called Hailey Bailey. Have you ever come across her?
No, let me Google her.
She posted a video of her at the Met Gala. But when I say at the Met Gala, she wasn't on like the carpet or anything. I think she just went for like to do pre-Met Gala interviews with people. Then...
Oh, Hailey Bailey.
No, no, no. Hailey Bailey. It's like a TikToker.
Oh.
She like Hailey Bailey.
Oh yeah, Hailey Bailey. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. I've seen her.
Yeah. So she went to the Met Gala, but she didn't actually like walk the carpet or go in. She just went did like pre-event interviews, mm-hmm. I believe, and then she went to some after parties. So she posted this video of her dress in this very flower heavy outfit with mm-hmm. a whole headpiece, and it's very Marie Antoinette inspired, mm-hmm. right?
I'm gonna look up.
Looks very like gardeny. And originally when she first posted it, a lot of people online were like, oh my god, whoever this is has nailed the theme. Yep. Can't believe TikTokers are outshining celebrities on the theme, blah blah blah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So she'd posted a video to her TikTok to a sound of that Marie Antoinette being like, let the meat cake. It was like a remix version, mm-hmm. right? So she's in this Marie Antoinette inspired outfit at the Met Gala being like, let the meat cake. That pissed the internet off to no, like, the nth degree. So people online were like, this is so distasteful because of A, what's happening in Gaza.
Yeah.
And B, like the economy across the world in many places. Like
yeah.
The cost of living, all of that. You're at the Met Gala being like, let them eat cake, which is a big kick in the teeth to poor people. Yeah. Right? So the internet got really pissed off with her. So then she posted a video apologizing, this like lengthy apology to TikTok. And in that video, she makes the statement that, I'm not, because I guess people were saying like, you're an elitist, like you're above everyone else, mm-hmm. whatever. That's why it's distasteful. She goes, I'm not elite. I've never been elite. Like, I'm just a normal person.
Mm.
And then that just added fuel to the fire. And that has honestly caused this huge thing, which I'll talk about in a second. So I don't know the timelines, but previously, you know, there's this guy on TikTok who will be like, how much do you pay for rent?
Anyway. Yeah, yeah.
She did one of those videos, mm-hmm. right? And they uncovered in that video that she pays $17,000 US a month for her apartment in New York City, right?
Oh, my God.
So she said in her apology video, I'm not elite. Well, I'm just a normal person.
Oh.
And then everyone on the internet's gone, the fuck you are.
Yeah.
You pay $17,000 a month in rent and I can barely afford my groceries, right?
I could do a lot with 17 grand.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's now triggered this new trend or movement or whatever you want to call it that everyone's calling Block Out 2024.
Yeah.
So what people are doing.
Eating the rich.
Pretty much. Everyone's like, fuck celebrities.
Yeah.
Fuck influencers. Facts. And fuck the rich. And I think that plus the Met Gala has people have had enough because – and there's three clear reasonings behind it, right? So the whole movement is about blocking people, like blocking celebrities and influencers on social media because the theory is that if enough people block them, their income streams
mm-hmm.
are cut, kind of thing. Which is a bit more of a simplified look at it, but that's the gist of it. So there's three clear reasons why people are getting behind this. The first one is that people are...
That's crazy that you're using your fourth finger to do the first point. Sorry.
It's been a weekend.
That's crazy. Anyway.
The first point is that people online are like, if you are a celebrity or an influencer with a huge platform and you haven't spoken out about the conflict between Israel and Palestine... Mm. Fuck you. Mm. You should have spoken out about it, right? Mm-hmm. And like there's this like expectation that people with a big following are meant to talk about any and every issue, right? So we'll part that, I'll come back to it. The second one is people feel like celebrities and influencers should be using their wealth and resources to make a difference. Yeah, right?
That I can agree with.
So the people that who aren't, they're like, well, if you aren't, block, you're out, I've had enough of you kind of thing. And then the third point is people have just simply had enough of celebrities and influencers flaunting this lifestyle and asking the general public, you know, not necessarily directly, but let's take Kim Kardashian, for example. She has multiple companies like Skims, for example. Mm-hmm. And so she's always, in a way, advertising Skims. And so people are like, well, no, hang on a second. You're so rich and powerful. And we've got a serious cost of living crisis where, like, I can't make my rent or I can't pay for groceries. And you want me to keep, you want me to buy money, so not buy money, but buy your products so that you can keep being rich. Like, this is, people have just had enough of it. And I think the Met Gala was a trigger for it, because guess how much a ticket to the Met Gala is?
Oh, isn't it like 20, 30 grand?
Up.
Oh. Really? Keep 50.
Going. Keep going.
80.
75,000 US. Per ticket, it's like $320,000 for a table. So people are like,
oh my God.
Everyone, most are struggling. Most people are struggling at the moment, just general people. And yet you're all just flaunting a $75,000 ticket to the Met Gala.
Yeah. What pisses me off is, like, I understand that not everyone is going to be educated about everything. And I think sometimes voicing your opinion when you're not across the topic comprehensively can do more damage than good.
I agree, yeah.
So, like, I'm by no means expecting every single celebrity to talk about Gaza and Palestine and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, absolutely, if you're informed on it and you know what you're talking about, 100% spread awareness.
Mm-hmm.
But again, in saying that, like, you can always, like, show support in other ways as well. Like, you don't – yeah, anyway – what annoys me is when celebrities try to make us feel bad as, like, genuinely normal people, try to make us feel bad and try to sympathize with them by them saying that they're just as normal as what we are.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Don't try to throw the wool over my eyes. Mm. Like, you're not like the rest of the general fucking population.
Yeah.
If you can afford a ticket, you're more elite than 80% of the population.
Yeah.
Like, why are you trying to lie about it? Like, yeah. I just don't understand.
Because then, like, heaps of people online, you'll see it in a lot of influencers and celebrities' comments on social media now where they're like, you're not talking about Palestine. Fuck you, you're blocked kind of thing, right? Now, I have an issue with that separately where kind of what you were saying. And I'm only going to use this as an example because this is coming up on my feed the most. Like Brittany Broski. Everyone's coming for Brittany Broski's throat because she isn't speaking out about it, right? This weird parasocial obsession with expecting influencers and celebrities who have no – they've got no background in talking about this stuff to come out and say something just to say something I think is really dangerous because – you can't just have, like, I absolutely think that we should, everyone should show their support towards Palestine.
Yeah, 100%. Right?
Absolutely.
100%, yeah.
But I don't think that everyone needs to say something publicly.
Yeah.
And I think what people are misunderstanding is just because your favorite celebrities, not necessarily your favorites, but just because celebrities and influencers go online and talk about the issue at hand does not mean that anything will change. Because I think people are oversimplifying it, where what a lot of people don't fucking realize is that there are a lot of countries in the world who financially benefit off of a war, right? Whether it's this one or it's Russia and Ukraine or it's something else. So as little as whoever is providing weapons to Israel, for example, someone's providing them with weapons. I'm not going to say who because I don't know exactly. They are financially benefiting. If you think because Kim Kardashian is posting some Instagram stories and saying free Palestine, that that is going to convince an entire country, like their leaders, to go, actually, we're not going to profit billions of dollars off of providing this country with weapons. I hate to break it to the world, but that's just not how this works, right? As much as I would love to think it does, that's not how this works. So I think the people that are using this movement to simply just call people out and, like, in a sense, like, bullying people, being like, you should be speaking out about this, you should be speaking out about this. I think everyone speaking out about it doesn't add any fucking value, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't always add value. I think those people, you've got the wrong intentions in this. And I think what people need to do is focus their energy on, rather than focusing on the negatives of who's not doing something, and focusing your energy on who is doing stuff and, like, backing those people, because those people agree. Are actually adding value to the conversation.
Like, if you don't like what a celebrity or an influencer is posting about, or you don't support, like, their views on something or whatever, or you don't like that they're not being vocal about something, just don't follow them anymore. Just don't support them. Yeah. Like you said, support the people that are actually saying what you want to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
Like, there are so many people that are raising awareness about Palestine that are posting links to, like, fundraisers and, like, you know, GoFundMes and stuff. Repost that. Share that. Like, follow those people. Like, those are the people that need your support, not Kim Kardashian, who's already got millions of followers.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I just don't understand why you need to call people out on shit. Like, just do it silently.
It's just not gonna, I don't think it's gonna have the impact that people think it's gonna have. Just because you're sitting in someone's comments calling them out isn't gonna change who they are and what they say.
100%.
So I do think that rather than doing that, just ignore them and focus on, like, your Bella Hadids, even, like, The Weeknd, surprisingly, is donating millions and millions of dollars. Focus on them, amplify them, amplify your Macklemores, all of those.
Yeah.
And also, if you're going to be negative towards anyone, do it towards the politicians and the leaders who make the decisions.
Yeah, 100%.
Don't vote for them. That's the biggest thing. And I know this is this is heavily targeted towards the Americans.
Yeah.
But if you don't want a government who backs the wrong people, don't fucking vote in Trump.
Or better yet, enroll to vote and then don't vote for the people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
voting, that's going to have a bigger impact. The thing that I think where people are getting it right is, I do think that celebrities and influencers can be called out for not using their wealth and resources to make a difference.
Yeah,
I think
100%.
That's, like, you know, if they're not donating money, things like that. Yeah. Again, I do think people's individual efforts would be better spent focusing on the good rather than the bad. But so, for example, because of the whole blockout, Lizzo suddenly started posting about Palestine as an example. And this is where people get it wrong. So she's posted all these fundraising links being like, everyone should donate here, here, and here. Lizzo, we don't have the fucking money for it, right?
You should be donating.
You have fucking all this money. It's like when the fires were happening in Hawaii and Oprah and The Rock came together to create this fundraiser. But instead of donating their own money, they said, oh, no, everyone else, you donate.
Yeah.
Here's an idea. How about you fucking rich people all come together and donate things and provide resources rather than constantly calling on the general public who, A, already support you through your own businesses and, B, are going through a fucking cost of living crisis, and do it that way.
Yeah.
And that's why people are getting upset.
I mean, fair.
And I think that the whole thing with people getting sick and tired of celebrities and influencers flaunting their wealth, particularly during times like this, I think that's just going to be a longer lasting thing. Yeah. I think we're going to see a shift in social media as a whole where people have absolutely just had enough. Like, people don't want to see celebrities going to these fancy events, going on, like, even like Tarte trips as an example, like influencer trips.
Yeah.
People have had enough.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, agreed. I feel like you're even kind of like seeing it now. Like, I think, I can't even remember what it was, but I think Shani Grimmond, I think maybe she bought I could be completely butchering this, but it was like maybe about a month ago, and she bought a house, I think, but she said that she bought it by mistake.
Oh, I don't know if it was her. Wasn't it someone else?
Or was it someone else? Yeah. It was an Australian influencer anyway. And they like, they posted about, oops, accidentally bought a house, like my bad. And people were absolutely butchering her because they were like, what do you mean you accidentally bought a house? I can't afford my groceries this week.
Yeah.
Like, read the fucking room.
Yeah. And that's what people are getting sick and tired of.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be more of that where like, yeah, if you are an influencer and you do have more money than most, that like, I don't know, just you'll see more of them not posting that so much. Celebrate your wins quietly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So what did I watch this week? I actually haven't watched a lot this week considering I watched the entirety of...
You watched Clarkson's Farm.
But I did watch that. And did I love every fucking second of it.
Mm.
So the first four episodes came out last week and then the second four, I think it was, came out the Friday just gone. I cannot tell you another TV show that has made me lay there glued to the TV, giggling away like a little schoolgirl.
Yeah.
I love it. Mm. It's so wholesome. I know that Jeremy Clarkson has a history of being a dick.
Mm-hmm.
But this show, it's just he's so likable in the show. Yeah. So for those who haven't seen it, Jeremy Clarkson was famously a TV presenter for Top Gear.
Yeah.
And has done a number of other things. I think he also hosts like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire in the UK. Yeah. So he owns a property out in Oxfordshire, like a farm. And previously he had other people running it. And then like 4 years ago, he decided, I'm going to take over and run it.
Yeah.
And he's got help. Like he's got Caleb and Gerald and a bunch of people who help him. But he basically documents him trying to become a farmer and every season.
Trying to make a profit.
Yeah. And I think that's the really interesting part. And this is very deliberate, is he shows exactly how much money he spends on it versus how much money they get back at the end of the year. And he's very he's very open. He's like, I'm very privileged and fortunate to have other income streams.
Mm.
But what he's trying to also do is demonstrate what it's like to be a farmer. Because a lot of farmers would go through this and not have the other income streams. And he's demonstrating, A, how much work goes into farming, B, how little control you have over things, and C, just all the other challenges in it. Like, recently, the show talks about, like, how all the government subsidies are like going away.
The politics behind farming,
The politics behind it. It's such a wholesome, heartwarming show. And I was reading an article today briefly. I think it was in the Sydney Morning Herald or like news.com, one of those. It was on my Google News. And it was this Australian farmer who was saying that Clarkson's Farm is actually phenomenal for the farming industry because it really clearly shows how difficult farming is. And it's very accurate in showing how much work and effort and drama goes into it. I loved this. I love all the seasons.
Yeah, that's so good.
I loved it. This season he gets pigs.
That's fun.
So cute.
I need to watch it. I'm up to episode one.
But it's a good one that you can just watch.
Yeah.
Like in the background.
It's an easy watch, yeah.
I'd give it a 5 out of 5.
Oh, yeah. It's such a good show. I love it.
And Mum and Dad go to Europe in a couple of weeks. And they've got, Mum's got like family out that way that they're staying with. And so they're going to go to the Diddley Squash Shop. And I'm like, you need to get stuff from there. So
absolutely.
That'll be good. But that's the only thing I've watched this week.
Yeah, I haven't watched anything either. I've been booked and busy, I'm afraid. I did start a book this week though. So we put it on our polls on Instagram as to which one I should start, either Powerless or None of This is True. And None of This is True came out on top. So I've started it and I'm up to part two. So nice. I'm like halfway through. So it was a bit ambitious for me to say that I'd have it done this week. Sorry, guys, but I'll give you a review of the first half anyway.
Yeah, give us a preliminary review.
It's good. So it follows this girl called Alex and she's a podcast host.
Oh my God, it's us.
It's literally us. And she goes to this pub for her birthday, for her 45th birthday. And she meets a lady there. Oh my God, I've already forgotten her name. Josie.
Mm-hmm.
And so Josie is also celebrating her 45th birthday with her husband at this pub. And Josie clocks Alex at a table. Alex is with all of her friends. She's looking like she's having the best time. And Josie follows her to the bathroom. And she's like, oh, like I'm celebrating like my birthday as well, blah, blah, blah. They find out that they both share the same birth date and that they were born in the same hospital. And so Alex is just finishing up her podcast series and she's wanting to find like a new kind of theme or like idea for her next project. And so Josie approaches her on like a separate day and she's like, oh, we met at the pub. I have an idea for a podcast series for you. Like we should do something about like us being birthday twins and how like we were born in the same time at the same place, but our lives are so completely different. And anyway, so she started and then Alex kind of agrees because she's kind of intrigued by this lady and she's like, okay, cool, fine. So she invites her into like her home and like meets her family and stuff. But then things just seem real fucking off. So when Alex first clocks Josie at the pub, she thinks that Josie's with her dad, but it's her husband.
Okay.
So I think her husband was, when they first met, Josie was 15. Her husband was in his 40s.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Can I just sidetrack you very quickly?
Of course. Anytime. Floor is yours.
That Anthony dude from Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Who?
Some Anthony guy from Red Hot Chili Peppers is 61 years old. Was photographed this week with his girlfriend. Guess how old his girlfriend is?
Oh, like 23.
Down.
20.
Down.
18. 19. Ah! Ah! No. Yes. Not girlfriend.
No, it actually looks
no,
like his.
No. Sorry, I had to. No, like, that's icky.
Like the immediate prison.
That is noncy.
Continue.
Yeah. So it's kind of unpacking that. And like Josie seems real fucking weird. She's really like, I don't know, just kooky, stalkery. She's stealing stuff from Alex's house. She's kissing it before she goes to bed. Like, yeah. Like there's this one part where Alex and her husband and her family, they're not at home and Josie walks by and she's like staring through the front window to see if anyone's home. No one's home, but the bins are at the front of the house. So she takes like a magazine that was in the recycling bin and takes it home with her. And then Alex's husband gets a notification from the security cameras at the house to say that someone like that movement was detected. And they watch her on the camera look through the front window and then steal this magazine out of the bin. And that's so like nuts. She confronts Josie about it and like she comes up with some excuse or whatever, but I'm just like, nah, something's not right. And then Alex meets Josie's husband, the noncy one, and she's like, oh, she's like trying to get an interview with him for the podcast and he's like, no, like I don't really want to be involved. And then he's like, but I wouldn't trust everything that Josie says. She lives in her own fantasy. What she says isn't always the truth.
Wow.
She's trying to play you, all of this stuff. And in Alex's mind, she's like, yeah, Josie's a bit weird, but also you're a pedophile.
Yeah.
You've gaslit her into like living with you this whole entire time. You've groomed her. Like I can't trust what you're saying either. So it's just very much like, what is going to happen? It's crazy.
Do you have theories?
I have no theories whatsoever.
Okay.
Like, I just don't know how it's going to play out.
I feel like, I haven't even read the book, but I feel like they don't actually share a birthday and we're not born at the same place.
Yeah, like, there's also this bit where Josie has two daughters. She says that one of them has run away. And then there's one that still lives in her house, but the daughter only eats purified food. She'll leave it at the front of the girl's bedroom door. and she'll come back later and the jars will be empty. So someone's eating the food, but she never goes into the room and she says the room smells rancid. And I'm like,
why wouldn't she go in there? It's her daughter.
I'm thinking, are they holding her captive?
Like a, okay, do you know that episode of The Simpsons where they have Crazy Bart
living
in the roof?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
And then there's a point like right before the end of the first part of this, of the book, where the Josie goes to her husband, Walter. She's like, I'm going to tell Alex everything. Someone needs to know. Like, we've been living this lie for too long. And Walter's like, no, if you tell her, she's going to go to the police. Like, and I'm like, what happened? What happened? Something with the daughter, the other daughter, and the current daughter. I feel like.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's a really captivating read and it's really easy to read. And all I've wanted to do is just finish this book, but I just haven't had a chance to. But I think this is going to get me out of my reading slump. I'm going to be real with you.
Yeah, I feel like those thrillers are good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real, real good. So, yeah, if you love a good thriller, I would absolutely recommend this on the first half alone.
Imagine the second half's like, shit.
You're like, yeah, like, great. I don't know how it's going to pan out. And I love when I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like crack.
I have made progress with Throne of Glass, everyone.
Hell yeah.
So it only took me like 28 chapters mm-hmm. of Tower of Dawn for it to finally become 28? Entertaining. So I think I have just cracked part two for that one, or Empire of Storm, one of them.
Yeah.
I think it's Tower of Dawn. I'm like halfway through that and just below halfway for the other one. And all it took was a love interest and a bit of yearning.
A bit of yearning is all it needed.
And now it has yearning and now all I want to do is read it. Yeah. So we're making progress.
We're back everyone. On our reading
bandwagon
a little bit.
Yeah. So there easing is hope after all. Yeah. I think that's it.
Like collectively or just about reading?
I mean, just me. That's all I've got.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Facts.
Yeah,
it's who's your favorite character so far
in Throne of Glass?
Mm.
I like Aelin, the main character. She's quite cool. I love Rowan.
Mm-hmm.
Love Rowan. I love Adian. Saying their names out loud because I've never had to say them out loud. I'm like, is this right?
Too sure, yeah.
love like that whole group. So everyone always has said when they're reading the series that Kale is the most boring fucking character mm-hmm. known to man, and Tower of Dawn
mm-hmm.
is all about Kale, right, and follows his story, and then Empire of Storms follows like the rest of his group, and that's why it's been so boring, because I'm like, oh, Kale is the fucking most boring, bland, beige male I've ever heard of. But then now it's starting to pick up and I'm like, it is his redemption arc.
Okay.
It's like, and his healing story. And like, once you really get, it's quite good.
Yeah.
But it's not like, a lot of people say Throne of Glass is better than ACOTAR.
Mm.
I wouldn't agree
so far. Right.
And maybe it's because of the order that I've read them in, but
I can't imagine two books would make much of a difference.
No, but I mean like, because I've read ACOTAR first before reading Throne of Glass.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But I think ACOTAR just appeals to me more because it is, the characters are a little bit softer. They're a lot more likable. There's a lot more love interest and yearning mm-hmm. In it. Whereas Throne of Glass is a lot more serious fantasy. It's a lot more about the
Game of Thronesy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very Games of Thronesy. It's very like, the world building is insane. Like, Tower of Dawn has been quite hard to follow in some sections because there are a billion characters in this series. Like, literally a kajillion characters.
Who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
That's like me in this book. There's the two sisters, Roxy and Erin. I can't for the life of me, like, remember who's who. Like, who's the younger one, who's the older one, who's the one that ran away, who's the one at home. And I'm like, that? Two characters. Let alone 25.
Right. Oh, I wish that it was 25. I get 25 in a fucking chapter.
Yeah, well, I couldn't.
There's like 5 million characters, But then what makes it worse is it's all fantasy name characters, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then you get introduced to a whole new world and you go, oh my days. Like,
give me profiling quick character snips on a page of each character so that I can reference back.
Yes.
I need a visual.
Okay. I'm so glad you brought it up. We should, yeah.
When we need like a throw in a glass guide.
Yeah. Like when you purchase the Throne of Glass books, there should be a lift out page.
Mm.
And it gives you, because they give you the map like at the start of the book. No, I want a fucking A3.
Yeah, map. Like map is helpful, but yeah, I need character profiles.
Yeah, and then on the back, it's like little headshots
of
all of them and the lines of how they connect and what like place they're from and what book they come in on.
Yeah.
I need that.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Yeah, I'm going to put that to Sarah J. Maas's publishers. But yeah, that's all I've got this week. It's been unfortunately a bit of I've enjoyed it, but it's been a boring week.
Yeah. I mean, next week we're going to Mount Gambier for a little gals trip.
Yeah. So there'll be a lot of,
hopefully we'll have stories from that.
Can you imagine we come back, we're like, well, nothing happened. Oh dear. All right, everyone.
Thank you for joining us yet again. Khan the Crom.
Have the best day. And week.
Yep. Have a life changing week.
And we will
make good life choices.
And we'll see you again next week.
If not, make them fun. Okay. Bye.